God said He will honor His word. Now we're going to talk today about how to make the covenant ark. We've talked a lot about the Ark of the Covenant. Even I have a little replica that's made out of gold I brought out every once in a while. So I want to talk about it again just a little bit, but I want us to pay attention to something different than what we usually do. Exodus chapter 25, and we're going to fool around in that part of the Exodus for a while. Exodus 25, verses 1 through 2. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution." And then it goes on listing all the materials like gold and onyx and silver and brass and ram skins dyed in wool and goat hair and all that kind of stuff. It tells everything that they can donate. But it says, if their heart moves them, King James says, if their heart moves them to do this, then they are to conform and give whatever materials that was in that list. Then starting at verse 8, it goes on and it says this: "Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them, according to all that I'm going to show you, as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all of its furniture, just so you shall construct it. So they shall construct an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high." Now, the interesting thing is most of us miss the change when we read this verse. It's just such a, I want to say, throwaway. It's just such an ordinary thing to read that we read it, pass over it, and don't realize there's a change in those verses. And then if you read the rest of the chapter 25, it continues that change. But I want to explain it to you what it is. It starts off and it's talking about, especially in the last part of the chapter, it says, "You," and he's addressing Moses, "you have them to build," and then he describes what they're to make. It says, "You build a table of showbread. You build an altar. You build the shovels. You build the tongs." It's always, "You Moses, you Moses, you Moses, you do this stuff." He's addressing Moses directly, and it's always, "You do this." Now, you can read before and after. You'll see where God has given craftsmen, and he said, "These craftsmen, you're to use them to build the things that I tell you." So it's "you, Moses," and he's giving him the responsibility to make sure that he gets the objects, the utensils that are inside of that tabernacle to be constructed properly. But did you notice when it got down, it said in verse 8, "Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them according to all that I will show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all of its furniture, just so you shall construct it." The other place it said that they're to contribute, but it changes the word from "you" to "them." This was head scratching for the rabbinical people for years and years, and evidently it's head scratching for most of the commentaries, because I never found one commentary, and I have a list that I can refer to, I never found one commentary that addressed the situation of why did it go from "you" to "you" to "you" to "you," and then it switch over "them." They are to build the ark. They are to be the ones who construct the ark, the body of the Ark of the Covenant. Why did it switch from "them," from "you" to "them"? What was going on there? The whole point is at the beginning when I started reading this in Exodus chapter 25, it says, "Let the person whose heart moves them contribute." So it's a free will offering. It was never commanded, but when it came down to building that Ark of the Covenant, he commanded them, "Let them build it. Have them to build it. They will build it. They will build it." And it's important that they will build it, and then it returns back to "you," because the emphasis is on the people are to freely give, they are to freely contribute to the ark. The whole ark idea we have all talked about it, the fact it's wood and it's encased in gold and how the top of it is hammered gold and how it represents the body of Christ, the wood, the acacia wood, represents His humanity. The gold that's overlaid it represents His divinity. The mercy seat, which is placed on top of it, is pure gold. They just started with a hunk of gold and started tapping on it and beating it and beating it until they formed two angels with wings that came up over the top of it, and then a flat platform, and those angels are looking down on that platform, and then they put the stone Ten Commandments inside the box itself, inside that bottom empty framework, and then they put that gold plate on top of it, and it's set right there. And it was just, and it's called the mercy seat. So when the high priest would go in, and we've talked about it, he would take the blood of the lamb that was sacrificed once a year, he would go before it, and he would sprinkle that mercy seat. Actually, one finger, like that, right on top of the seat. That's how strong the blood of Christ is. He would take, stick his finger in, and he would do it six times on the ground in front of the mercy seat, and then one time on top of the mercy seat, and that was the amazing thing. Is the angels was placed there so that they could see the great price that was going to be paid to forgive our sins, that we would obtain mercy. Mercy is something that's given to us when we're in pain, when we're in anguish. It's something we don't deserve, but it's given to us. That's mercy. Kindness is the idea that He is there to help you just because He chooses to, though it's something else we don't deserve. So this idea of being called specifically the mercy seat is He's there to deliver us from our pain and our anguish, all our trials, our sins, everything that causes us discomfort. He is there, and one time is all it took. You have to look it all up and go through it to find that reference, but it's there. But the whole idea was this, is this wooden box overlaid with gold was definitely to be made by they, the group. Everyone was contributing to the building of the tabernacle, to the building of this particular wooden box that was overlaid with gold. The craftsmen were there to make sure that this was carried out exactly. The wood was cut. That had to have a tree cutter. Had to have somebody to slice it into planks. Had to have somebody to plane it, sand it down, make it smooth. They needed somebody to beat that gold overlay into a real thin leaf so that they could put it over the wooden part of the box and cover the whole thing. Completely with gold inside out is the way I understand it. And it took all these different craftsmen to make sure they did it right. And then they put that one big gold plate with the angels on top of it. And then you read this at the end of Exodus chapter 25 in verse 21 and 22. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark. So the ark itself is that wooden box. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And in the ark you shall put the testimony which I will give you. That's the stones and with the Ten Commandments written on it. There will I meet with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony. I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel. So the whole concept was, is there's this ark, this box being made, the mercy seat's put on top of it. The angels are there looking down upon the shed blood, and God says, that is the place I'm going to meet you. You are going to have a special presence of me, a very special presence of me right there between those two wings. And right there I will be. You can pray, you'll know where to look at because you'll be able to see the tabernacle. You'll know where I'm at, a special presence for the children of Israel. I will speak to the high priest or whoever needs to be spoken to. And by the way, there's a fancy name for that. It's called the Bat Kol, B-A-T-K-O-L. It means the voice of God. And the voice of God is spoken about throughout the Old Testament and even into the New Testament. The Bat Kol, the voice of God, spoke to the children of Israel from the Mount Sinai to even when Jesus Christ was baptized. And it was the voice of God that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. It was the voice of God speaking. But the other part of it is the Shekinah glory. It's the manifestation. It's the revelation. To manifest something means you bring it to light, you show it off. The Shekinah glory is the showing off of the glory of God. And where God was dwelling, He was saying, I will dwell between those two archangels, archangels. It's sitting on top of that Ark of the Covenant. I will be dwelling there as a special presence. Granted, God is everywhere, but He's saying, this particular place is going to be special to you, children of Israel, because I'm going to be there. And from that time on, the rest of the time they were traveling through the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, the Shekinah glory of God was above that Ark of the Covenant, always showing right where God was. We have the pillar of fire by night, we have the pillar of cloud by day, and they would know when they were to move because it would start moving, and they'd say, we've got to pack up and go, and they would start falling. But the presence of God was always there, and it was usually manifested in light, in fire. One of the other places that's really interesting, it's talked about, and I had never picked up on this till it was pointed out to me last week. Remember when God called Abraham and He said, this is what's going to happen, here's your covenant. And he said, how do I know? How do I know, God, that you're going to do it? And God said, go get me a bull, go get me a goat, get me a turtle dove and a pigeon. And then he says, cut the big animals in half and lay one half here, one half here. And then after you get those laid out in two rows, put the pigeon on one side, put the turtle dove or the dove on the other side. And then he sits down and he waits and he waits and he waits. And it says he falls asleep. And this puzzled me for years. But it says that in that dream, in that vision he had, there was a smoking furnace that moved down between those and a pillar of fire. Whenever they made a covenant, the two parties that was involved always walked between those pieces to show that if I fail to keep this, you can kill me like we killed these animals, is the explanation. Blood was shed, and it would show that they was walking between it, and they was sharing this promise to each other. And I always wondered, why a furnace, and why this fire? And someone finally pointed out and said, the smoking furnace is the judgment, the fiery judgment of God the Father. And the flame that goes forth is Jesus, the light of the world. And so he was saying, we will take care of this for you. And it's a manifestation of the Shekinah glory of God, that Jesus is the light of the world, and that Jesus is there making that covenant with Abraham all those years before. It also says that whenever David or Solomon finished building the temple, that the glory of God was manifested in such a way that people couldn't enter. They could not literally stand to enter into the tabernacle itself because of the Shekinah glory. And there's different places where it talks about the Shekinah glory of God. But then later on, one of the prophets speaks of this, and I think it's Jeremiah, but don't hold me to that. I think it's Jeremiah. It could be Ezekiel. It's one of the big four anyway. And he says, I beheld a vision, and I saw the glory of God leave the Holy of Holies, and it moved out into the holy. And then it came out into the court. And every time it would move, it would hesitate. And then it came a little farther out. And it came outside the temple. And then it went up on top of the wall, and it hesitated. And then it moved off, and it went away. That was a vision of the Shekinah glory, of the presence of God leaving the temple because God had withdrawn from the people. They were no longer doing and following the instructions, even with the mercy that he was showing him. He's saying, you guys have messed it up so much, I'm withdrawing my presence from you. They still had the structure. They had all the ritual and everything still going, but the very presence of God himself had moved away. And it says that it lingered at all these places like it didn't really want to go. The Shekinah was going, I don't want to withdraw, but I have no choice. And it would pull out a little farther. This is not what I want. And finally it moves to the wall, and then it goes away. And the Shekinah glory had departed from the temple. The next time that I can show to you, and it's never referred to this as the Shekinah glory, but that's what it is. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. The wind is the same word as sharaka And that's the same word as they use in the Hebrew word is Sharaka, and that's the same word as spirit. So it would be the Spirit of God had moved in, the sound of a wind rushing in, the sound of a spirit rushing in, and there appeared on them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves as they rested on each one of them. That light is the Shekinah glory, and it was showing this, that the new assembly, the Church of Jesus Christ, is now the home base, is now the place where the presence of God dwells, is in the life of every believer who truly trusts in Jesus Christ. It's no longer in a temple. Remember Jesus when he was up at Samaria, he said to the Samaritan lady, there's coming a time when worshiping here or worshiping in Jerusalem, it's not going to matter. That's going to be moot. He was getting at this point in the book of Acts that the presence of God, the Shekinah glory, is going to be where two or three are gathered in my name. There am I in the midst. There am I in the Shekinah glory of God is dwelling where two or three people are gathered in His name. That is where it would be made manifest. That is awesome. It's no longer in a physical location. It's literally dwelling with the people of Jesus Christ. The church is the place where the Shekinah glory now rests. I want to read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is an incredibly awesome idea. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Let's go all the way back now to that ark, that box that was built. It was wood. It was overlaid with gold. We know it represents the body of Christ. But they were to build it. That is literally like a little prophecy that when the time comes, they are going to build this box, which is the body of Christ. Right here it says, we are that body. We are building the ark of the new covenant. We, when we assemble, we're showing forth the presence of the place where God is going to dwell. There is the wood, which represents the humanity of Christ. There is the gold, which overlays it, which represents the divinity of Christ. And since we are the body of Christ, that box, that part of the box, that the lower portion of it, represents the Church of Jesus Christ also. We are wood. We are human. But yet, because we have had our sins forgiven, we are clothed with the righteousness of God. So we are represented in that box picture also. And we are responsible right now to be building the Ark of the Covenant. That box of the covenant. Right now, in our day and age, we are that box of the Ark of the Covenant. We are the place where the glory of the Lord is indwelling and over us. That pure gold which lays on top of it is still Jesus Christ, purely divine. That is His place and His alone. He's in heaven. We can approach the mercy seat boldly. It says, talks about that. Boldly come before the throne of God. And that is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God, our Savior. We can boldly go there, but it's saying the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be built by the Christians. The Church of Jesus Christ is the assembly of the body of Christ. And when they get together, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Right now, Jesus should be in our presence. Right now, it's not that we have to see flames of fire or anything like that. He's just pointed it out. I have put on the church the flames, the Shekinah glory, and any time where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I. When you worship and you praise and you make that offering, that free will offering like this here, even if it's gold, silver, goat hair, there you go. Bring goat hair. Anything that you offer to be used of God, it's got to be a free will offering and it's got to be given as a gift. That's something I thought I'd forget. A gift. When you give somebody a gift, there's no strings attached. You can't do it like the evangelist. You send in so much money, you give $50, and God will give back 100-fold. Well, that'd be $500. But if you give and say, okay, I gave $500, now God is going to give me $5,000 back because I gave so much money. You didn't give Him a gift. You tried to strike a bargain with God. That wasn't a gift. When you give a gift, you just say, God, here it is. You just do whatever you want with it. If you give me a gift of, it wouldn't matter, a cheeseburger, I can eat the cheeseburger, I can give the cheeseburger away, or I can look at it and go, I don't like that kind of cheeseburger, and I can throw it away. It's mine to do with as I please. Jesus is saying to us, when you make an offering in the assembly, it's His to do with as He pleases. And don't think you can strike a bargain with God by going, I have given a lot of money, therefore God, you should give to me. You can't do it. You can't buy stained glass windows and say, I have donated so much money to the church, now God's going to be merciful to me. He's merciful to you because He chooses to be merciful to you, not because of a stained glass, not because of great architecture, not because of great artwork, not for any reason. But we give gifts to God because we appreciate what He did, and it's always a free will. And He says, once you do that, that's acceptable, but it's got to be from your heart. And then He says, now that you're Christians, build this box. Build this ark of the new covenant. Put together that. We are the they that was represented in the Old Testament. We are the they that's assembling the body of Jesus Christ together. We could assemble out here and be nothing more than a Bible study book club. There are churches that do that kind of thing. The presence of God is leaving churches like crazy anymore. I was reading about a Presbyterian church now that has taken, and they've begun the slide, going over to the liberal side and doing that which is not acceptable to God, as prophesied in the last days. So God's presence is withdrawing, and I was talking to one gentleman the other day, and he said, you know, these great big churches and denominations are failing because the presence of God is not there. It seems like the only place the presence of God is still manifesting is in the smaller churches, because they're still hanging on to the Word of God, trying to preach it and get it right as best they can, and God is honoring that. The question is, I will ask you guys, is, are we here now, today, as craftsmen? Are we helping to assemble the Ark of the New Covenant at this location, Glenwood? Are we coming as craftsmen, making offerings? And I'm not talking about cash offerings, limited. I'm talking about all the things that we do, and just say, I'm just doing this because I want to. I choose to. I like the church. I like Jesus Christ. I want to benefit this church. And that's the only reason I'm doing it. He's going, you're going to be blessed because you're doing it from your heart. You are building this assembly. The Shekinah glory hovers above the dwelling place of God, where two or more gather truly in His name, not just truly in the name. We're here. This is a church. Jesus is the one that's talked about. But it's got to be sincerely from the heart, saying every time we walk through those doors, at least some point, we should sincerely say, Jesus, I want you here. I want your presence here. I was talking to another guy, and he said, I have read my Bible for a long time, and I understood all this stuff in theory and acknowledged it as true. But now I'm seeing it in practice in my day-to-day life. You know, God really answers prayer. God's presence is really here. God's presence, He really does lead us into what we're supposed to do. It's not like He talks. It's not like He's there drawing a roadmap. But I know that I know, and I'm seeing changes in my family and in the church that I'm associated with. I'm seeing changes. And it's because God is hearing and answering prayer. It's no longer theory. It is a practice of His life now. He has come to the place where He is experiencing the presence of God dwelling in His life and in the life of His family and the people that He associates with. This is a question. Does the Shekinah glory of God hover above Glenwood Church? Is the presence of God with us right now? The third and the last part of this will be, when people walk in here, do they say, God's here? When we assemble and we get together and somebody who's a Christian walks in, do they say, oh yeah, The presence of the Lord is here. My sheep shall hear my voice, and they'll recognize it, and they'll come. When they walk in here, do they go, yeah, this is a place. This is a place I can assemble. This is a place where I can be, where the presence of God is. And I'm not talking all the hoop-de-doo stuff out there. I'm just saying, when we're together, that presence should almost be palpable. It should be so real that others will know it and we know it. And not just as a matter of theory, but as a matter of practice. We are the Ark of the Covenant of Jesus Christ. He's changed all the way things are done, and we are the presence where the living God dwells in our lives personally and in this assembly when we get together, and we're there for His glory and His honor.